Welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast. This is your host, Jay. And if you weren't, well, I guess if you were concerned of what that noise in the background was, I got to tell you, T-Hole's still driving. It's been 3 weeks straight now. He's driving. I don't know how far you can go in the world driving that much without running into water. So I'm assuming it's just a circle at this point that you're going in.
Yes, the earth is flat, but I will eventually hit water one of these days here. But yeah, I apologize for the noise. I don't know how to cancel it out. I don't know why it's happening.
I know how to cancel it out. You could stop driving. That's how you cancel the noise out.
I know. It's like I should pull over to the side of the road, turn it off, and then drive home. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? I am going to do that. I'm going to stop at a gas station. I'm going to get some coffee. I'm going to post up until we finish the goddamn show.
All right. Shake things up a little bit. Yeah, a little change of pace maybe.
Okay.
We are recording on a Friday. If you guys are listening, you've noticed that's just T-Hole and myself. We're the Friday crew. A little bit smaller cast this time, but that's cool. This is like the OG days, man. This is like back in the wild yonder. If I could use some incorrect metaphorical language. But we are here, and we're a couple days late, I think. So we did miss the Thursday night football game. But that's okay, because that game was pretty ridiculously bad. I think even if you're a Patriots fan, it wasn't what you would call an entertaining football game. But they win. I don't judge Patriot fans too much, but I'm sure they'll take the win no matter what. And I'm sure they're not talking about 16-0 at this moment. I'm 100% sure of that. But I would like to know your take, T-Hole. Jacoby Brissett, he's the third-string quarterback. He actually did get injured in the game, if you guys didn't fall asleep. I had a hard time. I didn't realize it until today when I read the news. But he has a torn right thumb, which kind of sucks. But that could mean that we see Edelman at quarterback against the Bills. What do you think about that? You think there's a chance?
I think they're going to rush back Garoppolo. I think they're going to try to get him in there or maybe bring in a veteran if they have to. I don't know, but they can't be stopped no matter what. I don't think they could put in Blunt at quarterback and win against Buffalo next week. I've never seen anything quite like this. I mean, this is like the greatest coaching something. This is one of the greatest teams of all time. And I hate the Patriots since Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback, was my man. He's the legend. I'm his biggest fan. I have his autographed helmet. I'm sure you've seen it. But I've hated them ever since. I hated how they did my boy Drew Bledsoe. I hate the Patriots, but this is incredible. They're 3-0 without Tom Brady. Who cares if they even lose this next game? But it's Buffalo who's falling apart. Everything's going wrong. They could go 4-0 without Brady. You mentioned 16-0. I was going to ask you, is that a possibility? Who are they going to lose to?
Yeah, I mean, if they can't lose, well, look, their only real challenge, I think, so far this season was the Cardinals, but that's still a pretty good team. Even if you think the Cardinals weren't hitting on all cylinders, I think that was a pretty impressive win. I mean, like you said, they're doing this without, you know, Gronk. I mean, even last night, Bill Belichick was basically trolling us again by activating Gronk, and then he was there for one target. No Tom Brady. Yeah. Brissett's in there. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he went 16-0. If this is the season, I mean, they've basically given, they've had three free wins while Brady's out. I mean, what happens? And I noted that Tom Brady's first game is against the Browns. I don't think they're going to lose that one. So at that point, they're going to be what, like 5-0? 5-0? Yeah.
They'll be 5-0.
Yeah.
And should we add what a disgraceful performance from the Houston Texans? I mean, I've been picking the Houston Texans to win this game all week. I was sold on the Houston Texans being a playoff team, being a competitive team, being improved. I mean, they're fumbling kick returns, like multiple kick returns. Osweiler looked like the man I expected him to be. But it's just – that was disgusting. If I was a GM or an owner of a team, I'd be wanting to, like – pimp slap, fire the coach at halftime at that game. What are you doing?
Yeah,
you got the third string quarterback.
Yeah, just some interesting things from that game. since the game itself wasn't too interesting. If you didn't know this, T-Hole, both Bill Belichick and Bill Lambeau, their 226 victory were both shutouts. That's kind of interesting. Another one, Jacoby Brissett on his TD run. I don't know if you saw that one, but when he did the end around, he was clocked at running at 20.3 miles per hour on that TD run. That's the fastest QB rush of all season, including Tyrod Taylor. I don't know the numbers on Tyrod Taylor, but 20 miles per hour, that sounds pretty fast, man. That's like moped speed.
My goodness.
Yeah, and one last thing.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think one last thing that you'll really like. I don't know if you'll like it or not, but I found it, you know, what you were saying about Bill Belichick's coaching. J.J. Watt versus all the other teams in his career, which is 79 games, 76 sacks. J.J. Watt's against the Patriots, 0 sacks in 4 games. I think that's the one that stands out.
Yeah, it's crazy, and they got offensive linemen out. I mean, their tackles have been hurt. I mean, they're banged up. Gronk's a great blocker. He's not even playing. I mean, it's insane. I mean, you got Clowney out there. You got all these guys. Granted, you know, the Patriots weren't throwing that much, but still, I mean, figure it out. I mean, there's serious talent on that Texans defense. There's really no excuse. Granted, the Patriots got the ball in perfect field position multiple times, again, because of the fumbles and the turnovers and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, that is just gross. I mean, that was a terrible – I could watch any NFL game, anytime, anywhere, and, like, I was over that one, like, in the third – I mean, that was gross, man.
Yeah, I do want to get a move on from this game. But one other thing before I move on that I want to discuss with you is, what's your take on DeAndre Hopkins? I am worried, officially. I think I said so in my post in the roundup that was published today. I'm worried, but I'm still holding because, I mean, you're not going to get value on him at this point. I think you just kind of have to wait until Osweiler does something. But, I mean, are you – this is a bad situation, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm a tad concerned. I mean, he still looks great. I mean, the body control looks great, but, I mean, he keeps – I mean
– I think it's more Osweiler, like the, right?
Yeah, like, I hated the Osweiler signing, but at the same time, I'm like, how much worse can he be than, like, Hoyer or whoever's been there? I mean, it's just been – it's just been ugly, man. I mean, he's helped himself or hurt himself by having a couple drops on some tough TD catches. I think in week 2 it was in where he had a couple possible other TDs that he actually dropped. They would have been pretty insane catches, but he had a shot at it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not liking what I've been seeing. Yeah, it's just not there. I mean, I thought they're going to have kind of a high octane offense, or that's kind of the goal here. But if Osweiler's going to be making dumb decisions like he does every week, they're going to really need to cut down on the throwing as they already should be doing anyway. But I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, just 2 more things before I get to the rest of the preview for the Sunday games. I did want to talk about, well, I guess they're sort of the same thing. Two more running backs were lost this week. That's Adrian Peterson and Danny Woodhead. Both were drafted in very different places, but both provided value to their teams, especially in PPR leagues for Woodhead. And AP was still a first round pick, maybe a high second round, but I don't think he escaped the first round in too many formats or leagues. I do want to ask you, T-Hole, this is kind of a mess of a situation. I'm not very high on McKinnon, not very high on Asiata, but the volume has to go somewhere. So, I mean, who's the guy for you? What do you expect? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, I've always been on the McKinnon train. Unfortunately, I mean, it always hurts because we know what happens. We know Asiata comes in there, gets way more carries than he's expected to, gets every single carry inside the 20-yard line. It's like I don't think I've ever seen McKinnon actually fumble, but they treat him like with safety gloves, like the dude is guaranteed fumble. I'm like, come on, man. Give this guy a chance inside the 20, the 10, I mean, anywhere, please. It's not that serious. They got to find out and see what they have here with him to see if he can be a star back going forward, because Peterson, if I'm them, I move on from him this offseason anyway. So it's time to really unleash this dude. He's a freak athlete. He's got the speed. I'm sick of Asiata. I mean, Asiata, I got to give it to him, though. He's kind of a solid running back. He's a little underrated, but we want to see McKinnon. I think everybody's still buying into the hype again, and we'll probably be disappointed. He doesn't have a great matchup this week, obviously, against Carolina. It's about the worst matchup he could have, or one of them anyway, so I wouldn't expect great things this week. But he's definitely the upside guy to own. Matt Asiata, you're totally TD dependent, and he has been pretty solid with that the last few years. But I'm still a McKinnon fan, and he's still a must own and a must pickup, obviously, especially for those Peterson owners. Ouch.
Yeah, I personally, are you okay? Are you surviving?
I meant ouch for them.
Oh, okay.
Owners.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna have to switch things up. Got in the switch joke. I would say I do prefer I do prefer Asiata just because he's easier to make cheese puns with than McKinnon. There's really no cheese that, you know, kind of goes McKinnon. Maybe Munster, if you had to see, like, McMunster, so maybe like an Irish cheese. But
yes, now I'm hungry.
The other one is Danny Woodhead. This is it's very Chargers, I would say. But not that I want to go into anything about that, because it would involve me having a drink right now, which is, you know, my post-pod activities for Friday night. But I would want to ask you this, Teal. It's obviously, they don't have a replacement, except for they just signed Dexter McCluster now. And in KC, he was kind of, you know, more of a special teams guy. He would be involved in the running game. And I always thought he had kind of the ability to be like a Darren Sproles or a Danny Woodhead. The Chargers certainly think he can pick up that role. I want you to talk me down, because I have Chargers bias, but every league that I could, I picked him up just in case. These are PPR leagues, mind you, but what's your take on this situation here for Gordon and McCluster?
Yeah, it's I've always been a big McCluster fan. I mean, the problem here, and what should worry us, is that he was a high pick, a second round pick, and he didn't work out there. They tried to use him more as a slot guy, but they put him in the backfield. Tennessee immediately signed him when he was finally a free agent. They thought they were going to do the kind of the same thing, and it just hasn't worked out that great for whatever reason. So maybe it's been the offensive coordinator. The thing that also kind of worries me is they had Wisenhunt there last year, so now he's with the Chargers. So, like, I mean, did he figure out how to use him in Tennessee? I don't know, but either way, like you said, he has the ability and should be able to be like a Sproles or a Woodhead type of thing. He's probably not as tough as a Woodhead on the inside stuff. But, yeah, I think eventually they should be able to find a way to use him, and they definitely need to find somebody to mix in there with Gordon, who all of a sudden is looking like an incredible draft choice by the Chargers. He's really stepped his game up after last year's embarrassment. I'm sure you're excited about that. Because he looked so god-awful last season, I was ready to throw in the towel. But then he had surgery or whatever in the offseason. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's done. But look at him now. He's killing it.
Yeah, and definitely he'll be receiving a little more attention, a little more volume. He's not exactly a pass catcher. I think the scouting reports had him as an okay pass catcher, but that's not really his primary duties. I don't think that'll change. The Chargers offense definitely relies on a true pass-catching running back as part of their, you know, exotic sets or third down and first. I would say this, if there was a quarterback that McCluster could ever succeed with, I think it is Rivers. I mean, I don't think there's any other quarterback. Even, I mean, you joke around, I always joke around that Alex Smith is the check-down king, along with Joe Flacco, but Philip Rivers has a tendency to be able to place the ball on these checkdowns to where they're always in a prime position to get the yards after the catch, which I think is different than the other quarterbacks. They usually use it as, you know, escape a sack or you know, they're on the run or whatnot. Philip Rivers, sometimes he just sees the field better, but that could be just my blind devotion to that dude. T-Hole, before we get to the week's previews, I got to tell you about SeatGeek. I've told you this before, but if you are planning to go to a sporting event, a concert, anything really, that a ticket is sold. Maybe not your local fair with funnel cakes and whatnot. I don't think they cover that. But you can go to SeatGeek. They're like Ticketmaster, except a lot cooler. They don't have any hidden charges. All the fees are shown up front, so you know what you're buying. And if you sign up with this promo code RAZ, NFL, at SeatGeek.com, you get $20 off your first purchase. So pretty cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, I wish I could do that every time, because that way I could get $20 every time off. But anyhow, that's neither there nor there. Getting to the new week, we got the Cardinals and Bills. I'm just going to go ahead and pick the Cardinals. I don't see how the Bills win that game, which is a shame, because I'm pretty sure they're going to lose against... Let me ask you this. I hate to talk about the Patriots again, but what would you... Let's say this happened to the Seahawks, T-hole. Let's say the Seahawks back in the 80s went, or I'm sorry, the 90s went to the Super Bowl 4 straight times and lost, and you have to carry that with you. Which is worse, that or if the Patriots came into Seattle and beat you with a wide receiver as a quarterback? Well, which one is the worst here?
It's still worse to be on the losing end of the 4 consecutive Super Bowls. How can you ever live that down? How can you ever be like, we didn't get one? We couldn't get one down? We couldn't get one in there? That's embarrassing. That's far worse. But anyway, because the other one that you said, that would never happen. That's impossible. That's an impossibility.
Well,
so there's
the
no
Bills.
Need to really
that's,
go into
that's
it.
That's the part. It's possible for the Bills, which is incredibly sad and depressing. I mean, not to be redundant. I mean, I know I just was, but...
Oh, I thought you meant if they came into Seattle and did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
if
like,
they have that history. I was just trying to kind of get your view as a fan, because I know you can easily say, like, you are totally Adam Midas, aren't you? I can just...
Totally what? Sorry, I'm by...
I said you're at a Midas car shop, aren't you?
Yes.
Definitely. So, yeah, I was just asking, you know, to put yourself in the fan's shoes, just because I think you could come with the argument, well, like, well, we were at 4 Super Bowls. Any team would want to be in that situation. But, I mean, losing 4 straight, that's pretty devastating. That's a devastating event. Like, even if you did have a great team, it was probably one of the most dominant teams. But, yeah, I mean, I think they lost to the Cowboys and to Washington at the time in those 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you what it feels like to lose one in devastating fashion. If I went 4 years in a row, I might not be sitting here talking to you right now. I probably wouldn't be watching football anymore, period. I would have moved on to hockey or tennis or croquet or something other than football, because that sounds too painful for me. Once was enough.
All right. So, and I agree, by the way. I think it's worse to lose all 4 Super Bowls. But getting beat by a wide receiver quarterback, that's definitely a unique thing to do. Okay, so Cardinals at Bills. I see the Cardinals winning this. I really don't see how the Bills can compete with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Watkins is a good chance he misses the game now. Cordy Glenn, the left tackle, is missing the game again. This is a wrap. This is going to be – I know I thought the Jets were going to give them a bludgeoning – last week, somehow Tyrod made some magic happen. This week, with no Watkins, Salas is even banged up. This is going to be a destruction. Don't be surprised if Rex Ryan gets canned. Everyone needs to get fired. I mean, it's not even their fault. There's so many injuries, so many things have happened. I just see no way they can win this game.
It's not just that, but my own personal feelings is, I think, you know, all of us have become immune to it lately, especially with the political system the way it is, but nepotism seems to be really a negative trait. Like, I don't like it in any form. I mean, especially, I only mention the political season because nobody cares at the fact that, you know, we have another Clinton running. I guess they care, but then, you know, Trump's kids have a big part of his business and campaign. So, you know, to stay away from the ins and outs of that, I just mention it. And, you know, with the Bills, you have the Ryans coaching day there. And, of course, last week their offensive coordinator was fired because, I mean, you're not going to fire your own brother, are you? I think they're going to stick together. So I think that's where nepotism gets in the way. You can say all you want about whether or not the offense had problems, seeing as how the defense gave up so many points. But, you know, the offense didn't help themselves. They had problems of their own and created turnovers to those points. But, you know, that's beyond the point. Interesting enough, we have the Broncos at the Bengals. And speaking of the Patriots, I kind of see the Broncos being just like the Patriots are, except they don't have a Pro Bowl quarterback coming back. They're stuck with their, you know, kind of second string guy, and it hasn't hurt them yet. They obviously have a fantastic defense. They look a lot stronger than I thought they would. I don't think they can beat the Bengals at home. This will be an interesting test, I think, for both teams. What's your take on this, T-Hole?
It's a tough. This is a crazy game. The Bengals have kind of a rough schedule there. I mean, they start the season at Jets, who should have made the playoffs if Tyrod didn't knock him out the last week of the season. And then they had to play Pittsburgh on the road week 2. Now they get to play Denver. I mean, jeez, Louise, I don't like that. But, yeah, if they could come away with this game. I mean, Denver's defense looks absolutely filthy. I cannot lie to you. I'm a little concerned. They're going to buck up on AJ Green there. Somebody else is going to have to step up, or they're going to have to try to run the ball a little bit here. I don't know if that's doable, but they're going to have to do it. They're at home. their defense is pretty solid too, or and should be able to hold down Denver. Simeon's been pretty average. They haven't really had him unleash anything yet. So, I mean, it should be a defensive battle. I'm kind of curious how this one turns out. I'm not sure what the spread of this game is. I'm gonna go with the surprise pick and take the Bengals here and take Denver's first loss of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to match you. I got a feeling about this game. Most of my feelings, I should note, for everyone's safety are usually wrong. But, yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. Next up, we have the Browns at the Dolphins. Well, I think we're both of us going to pick the Dolphins.
Ugh.
I'm pretty sure that's obvious. But I wanted your take on their running back situation. Obviously, Foster is out for a while. We have Jahi and Drake making his debut. What's your feelings on this tandem? Like, who emerges? I always think it's a Jahi, but he hasn't done anything, like, at all in the past season and a half, so.
Yeah, he's pretty boring. I mean, there's nothing really spectacular about him. And if the coach isn't, he's just handing him the job at this point. If he's saying they're still going to figure out carries or he's not sure, and he's already been there, and they're talking about a third-string rookie running back, third round draft pick who was a backup at Alabama getting carries over this guy, how good could he really be? I mean, he's obviously just a plotter. I don't see anything exciting there. So, yeah, it's an interesting running back situation. I think Drake is the one you want to own if you're thinking long term of the season, as we can see here. If things kind of fall apart for Miami, what's the need to keep playing Arian Foster even when he's healthy? So I'd be curious. I'd be interested in that. And yeah, like if the Dolphins somehow find a way to lose this game, then yeah, it's getting much uglier there than I even thought possible, because you got Cody Kessler, you got the Browns, everything's falling apart as expected. The rookie just broke his hand. Corey Coleman, like, Miami has to win this game. I mean, it's gross.
Now, I want to ask you this, because you do own Josh Gordon in the Writers League RCL. What's your take on his value at this moment? I know there's a little hype, but is there going to be a quarterback to throw to him? I mean, what's your feelings
on that? I'm crushed about it, actually, because I did that in a lot of leagues at the end there. I kind of took him a little bit higher than his ADP, just because I'm like, oh, my God, he's still got it. We saw in the preseason he's going to get off. This is a steal. You're getting kind of a first, second-round talent. You know, in the 6th, 7th round, 8th round, wherever I took him, I don't remember where I took him, but you're getting that kind of a talent, and now you got a rookie quarterback in there, a rookie quarterback, mind you, who I've hated on for years and year at USC. Like, I've been going off on him, I've never liked him, but Gordon's been able to go off with Hoyer at quarterback, whoever he's been there, he's gone off, so it's like, maybe he'll get a ton of targets. I mean, I need to see what Kessler's looking like in the pros. I'm not a fan of his at all, so I'm pretty bummed about this injury. I need McCown back ASAP, and it doesn't look like it's going to be happening because he has a broken collarbone.
Yeah, and then coming up, we have the NFC North matchup, Lions at Packers. I would say this is going to be Packers. Go and give me your team pick, of course, but what's your take on Cobb? I've been getting a lot of questions on Cobb. I'm still keeping the faith. I don't know if you are, though.
Yeah, I've been on Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been keeping the faith, but, I mean, last year I was getting into arguments with one of my good friends I talk with football with constantly. You know, he's a hater, period. So, I mean, I thought he was just going off on Cobb. He's a big Seahawks homer. He's going to have Baldwin so much better than Cobb. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Cobb's like a superstar. Blah, blah, blah. And last year when Jordy went down, everybody moved Cobb way up their rankings. I know I did. I thought just on volume alone, the guy was going to go absolutely off. And he couldn't even get open. And then so I gave him a pass. I thought he was banged up. They said he had some kind of injuries or whatever. I'm like, there's no other reason. Like, this dude is legend. What is going on? And then this year he looks pretty – you know, mediocre already also. Out of the Packers as a whole offensively kind of do, so I'm not sure. I haven't seen enough of him individually, but, you know, it's like, I don't know if something happened to him or what. He just doesn't seem like quite the same guy. I am a little concerned, but not giving up.
Yeah, and I would say the Packers game against the Vikings was a little unique. They seemed a little off on offense in general. Aaron Rodgers wasn't hitting his spots too well. They just looked really uncomfortable out there. I know that's kind of a general thing to say, but I'm not an NFL head coach. I don't have any jargon to throw at you that makes me sound professional. They just something looked off with that offense. Okay, so we got the Raiders at the Titans. And Teal, you picked the Packers for that one, I'm assuming.
Which one was that? Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a ride with the Packers, man. I'm not a Caldwell fan at all.
Is anyone?
I don't think so, man. I hated the hire, and of course they made me look like an idiot and made like the playoffs this first season there, made me look like an absolute tool after I bashed the hiring, and now they've kind of fallen back to Caldwell times that we expected. So now it's looking good, and they got a new GM there. They need to fire that dude. Josh McDaniels to possibly go there. They brought the Patriots GM in there. That might be a landing spot.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels, my God. He was not a good coach, I would have to say. I did get a chance to watch him closely in the AFC West. So good luck to Lions if that happens, I guess. All right, so Raiders at Titans. I got Raiders on this one. And I don't know. Like, with the Titans, it's hard to place who's on their team because it's the Titans. But you got Mariota, DeMarco Murray. Oakland seems to be a team on the rise. I know it's only been 2 weeks, but I like their weapons a little bit more here. I think Gladdy will have a pretty good game. He's been pretty good this year so far, I'd say.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup here. Both teams are 1-1. Titans should be 0-2, but somehow Detroit gave them that game at the end of that one, Oakland's weapons are majorly stepped up and ready to rock, but their defense is looking horrible. I actually like this game. I'm still taking Oakland to win the game, as you are. But from a fantasy perspective, I'm really liking Mariota and probably both running backs in this game, Henry and Murray, more so Murray, just because he's getting more carries. But, I mean, the Raiders have been giving up crazy points. I mean, obviously the first one was at the Saints. You kind of get a pass for that. But then last week, did they come back and lose at home? To Atlanta, just torched them. So I think there's a good chance Mariota's probably a pretty good play in DFS. He's probably pretty cheap or whatever, or just a sneaky play if you have a bad matchup for your starting fantasy quarterback. But, yeah, I'll take Oakland.
All right, we got the Vikings at the Panthers. I would say Vikings are an interesting case because I mentioned that game against Green Bay. Sam Bradford looked really good. I was pretty surprised about that. I would say that him and Stefon Diggs look like they've been throwing to each other for at least a season, if not more, just the way they're working together. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I love making fun of Bradford, but he does, I guess, deserve a little success, which is nice. So do the Vikings franchise after suffering that blow to Teddy Bridgewater. However, that being said, I don't see how they win a game against the Panthers, I just don't see him doing well against that defense, against that offense. I think the Panthers kind of are good at what the Vikings are weak at, so.
Yeah, the Vikings would have to do what they did week one and make it happen with their defense somehow. They'd have to just totally clamp that down. Rhodes might be coming back, their best cornerback who missed last game, and that would be big to have him back in a game like this. But yeah, I mean, I'm just that Bradford showing was like one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I'm thinking to myself, have I been wrong about this guy my entire life? Is he actually a legit quarterback? Is this guy actually good? And I've just been hating, not seeing clearly the talent that this guy possesses because he's out there dialing it in, beating the Packers, feeding Diggs, looking like just a legend. The arm strength looked great. I mean, I was shocked.
Yeah,
absolutely shocked. But this is a tougher matchup defensively. They just lost their left tackle. Granted, he's been terrible the last 2 years, so how much worse could the next guy up be? But we shall see. Yeah, I'm going to have to lean Panthers, though, in this one.
All right, we got Washington going to New York. Their season, I feel like, is on the line. I mean, they have they're 0-2. The Giants are 2-0, and this is, of course, an interdivision game. I always hate saying this in football, like this early, like only 3 weeks, but this is a must win. I mean, they cannot go 3 behind plus a division loss against the Giants. They just can't come back from that. So That being said, I still think the Giants win just because Washington has looked like old Washington. I mean, the Giants, I mean, say what you want about their defense, but at least their offense has been working pretty well. So, yeah, I don't see how Washington wins this game. They're just, I feel like they're using Josh Norman incorrectly. I really don't think it's his fault. Now, obviously, you know, the first week, I think I mentioned something about him. He was being kept on the secondary receiver. They did that again last week to no avail. Do you think they keep him on ODB this, at least on the same side? Or are they going to shut down the other? I can't see them continuing the same trend, right? I mean, they're not that dumb.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, I thought they've already made it clear that he was going to do that last week, and I don't think he really did, but he might as well. I mean, I don't see the problem with it. I mean, they used to give Richard Sherman so much crap about not doing the same thing, but for us, for the Seahawks, it was more like we had a very solid second corner. Like, Maxwell was playing great that year, those 2 years or whatever. There was no real reason to be flipping Sherman all over the place like that when it was like we already had a really good second corner and it wasn't hurting us. We were winning every game. It didn't matter. So the hate was unnecessary.
Why are you being so cute with it, you know? Like, just do the obvious. Like,
but right, yeah, but if you're the Redskins and you're not the Seahawks and you're not that talented, like, you got to do it. Like, every time. Like, why would you not? You just paid this guy up the ass. Your team's struggling. You need it to happen. Everybody's pumped for this matchup. I'm pumped for it. I believe in Norman. It's going to be a good game, but yeah, I got to go with the Giants, man. I mean, the Redskins, yeah, you're right. Their season is on the line. They need to find a way to make this game work out. I just don't think they're going to. Cousins is looking awful, and the Giants have their improved secondary. Janoris Jenkins, surprisingly, is grading out as one of the best in the league right now, looking like a nice signing. He's killing it. So you got to lean Giants at home. I don't see how the Redskins are going to be able to stop them, really.
Right, and one thing I forgot to mention is that the loss before was against the Cowboys, which is even more devastating because, you know, if Dallas wins this week, then they're 2.5 behind and minus one on two NFC East teams, which is the worst part. I think it's not really something you look at, but when you're looking further down the season, I think what hurts teams the most is losing interdivision matchups, you know, or a tie, because that really messes up the playoff picture for a potential team. Moving on. Oh, I would also say this.
And they started 0-2 at home. You can't do that.
Right. And I would just say that maybe, you know, they're used to D'Angelo Hall being their number one cornerback. So maybe they just got used to mediocrity there and wanted, I don't know. Like I said, they're just getting too cute. So we got the Ravens at the Jaguars next. Wow, this is a barn burner. I'm definitely going to watch this one. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's the Ravens here, but I think Jaguars will have a better showing than they did against the Chargers. I can't imagine them being that bad again. So,
you are a Ravens fan to some degree, are you not?
No, I'm really not.
You're not.
I mean, I just don't care for them. It's not like I wish them harm or anything. I make fun of Joe Flacco a lot because he's easy to, and right. I used to make fun of Ray Lewis a lot when he was in the league because he's a stabby motherfucker, and I just enjoy shitting on him. But beyond that, yeah, I don't really care. I mean, you know what it is? It's their song, their march song or whatever it is that kind of gets annoying. They have that, like, 12 salute. I don't know what you call it. The 12-man or 12 army of 12. Something stupid where they just, like, it's a song or something. So Seven Nation Army? Maybe that's it. I don't know. See, this is how much I care about the Ravens, yeah.
Yeah, let me say that let me say something here. What was I going to... Oh, yeah. Gus Bradley, man. Former Seahawks defensive coordinator. We were so great that year. He was gifted this job. He's had a horrible record every year. Granted, it was a unique situation with Jacksonville where it was just, you know, total disaster there. So it's like, you know, he gets a pass for a little while. But at this point, roster-wise, talent-wise, they're loaded up. What are they missing? They've signed defensive backs. They've drafted defensive back. They've signed so many defenders. Like, they should be loaded. They have two great wide receivers. They got another former second-round pick who's healthy, finally, Marquise Lee. They've got Julius Thomas at tight end. They finally made a couple moves. I mean, their O-line was kind of the main weakness I saw. They brought Beecham over from Pittsburgh. He has a concussion, so he's going to miss the game, of course. And then Luke Jokel was a total bust, but he's at guard now, so whatever. But they have playoff talent, and this team is just just last week was just disgusting. I picked them to beat the Chargers. They were absolutely embarrassed, which in turn embarrassed me, which is not cool. So I don't like it. I hate what's going on with the – he's going to get fired regardless at this point. I just happens to, if they're going to wait till their bye, whenever that is, that's what a lot of teams do. So maybe that's what happens here. But they are desperate for a win. And if they can't get it at home this week against Baltimore, like, it's going to get real ugly for them. Baltimore, you know, they really impressed me defensively week one. And then this week two, they came back with a nice offensive showing against Cleveland after getting way down. But, you know, anybody that gets way down to Cleveland, you got to be kind of worried about.
Right. I would say, you know, the saying where you dig your own grave, that's a very shallow grave when you're digging against the Browns, I have to say. I'm going to go Jaguars here. I think they can win this game. I mean, if they don't, they can pretty much... I'm not going to say they're... It's not like as dire as Washington, just because the AFC South is a little bit more obtainable. But, yeah, I don't think any of us expect the Jaguars to make it to the playoffs. Okay, so...
They get Ivory back, too, if that's notable. He was kind of a big running back signing over there, so they can kind of...
Right.
Gives them another element. They can pound it a little bit there, so maybe that helps them a little bit. But, yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to side with you. Let's go, Jacksonville.
Right, I could see it happening.
Let's do it.
I would say one thing with Ivory returning that did remind me that it's a shame that Yeldon didn't take this opportunity to establish himself.
Oh,
he had
yeah.
the chance, you know.
I ranked him so high last week. Oh, my God. That probably cost me so heavily in the rankings. I bumped him up so high last week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Chargers' run defense kind of looks like a 300-year-old cheesecloth, you know. But... Anyhow, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll finish off with afternoon games right after this short break. That's redundant. All right, and welcome back to the show. After breaks and redundancies, I don't even think that's a word, but we'll go off that. We got the afternoon slate, and the Los Angeles Rams going against the Buccaneers. This is kind of an interesting matchup. Wow, I kind of like this matchup. This is kind of two similar teams. Not really similar, I'd say. Maybe just record-wise or where they're at as a team. Kind of a fan of Sims. I find Jameis Winston an intriguing quarterback at this moment. There's not much to say. I think the prime thing I would ask you, T-Hole, or the number one thing I would want your thoughts on is Todd Gurley. Is this the game where we see him do something, anything?
Yes, in a word, I believe it's got to be, right? I mean, Tampa is just not ready for prime time. Our little sleeper playoff pick last week was absolutely disgusting. I somehow picked them to cover in that game. They were absolutely throttled. But, I mean, they did okay against the run. Like, I mean, David Johnson didn't have a big game on the ground. He had 90 plus receiving or whatever, and then Chris Johnson racked up 40, 50, 60 yards like late when they're up like by 40. So I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but they did a decent job on the ground. But Gurley's do the breakout. They're going to keep pounding and they're going to break through, I think, and their defense is going to stop Tampa from really getting a huge lead on them. So I think it's a prime opportunity for a 100-yard day with at least a touchdown. I would lean heavily on that happening.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams here. I think the problem is with the Buccaneers, the ingredients are there for it to be a playoff team. But whether or not those ingredients, you know, come to fruition, just to stick with all the restaurant metaphors. But, okay, next game up, we got not your 49ers. They're kind of yours since they're in the same division against officially your Seahawks. Now, I did, you know, I think it's easy to pick the Seahawks to win here. I know you will. I know I will. But something I do want to discuss to you about is what the heck do we do with this running back situation? It's been kind of a clusterfuck since the beginning of the year. And I just want to ask you, T-Hole, as a guy who, you know, follows it pretty closely, who's the guy to own going forward? And if so, is he a running back one? Is he a running back two? Is he a bench option? I mean, how do you describe the situation in fantasy?
It's crazy right now, man. I mean, I am leaning. I just bumped Michael way up in my rankings. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he has his career game It's going to be a 100-yard game with a touchdown. And I bumped him up to my top 15, possibly top 10 running backs fantasy pros this week. Hopefully he doesn't TJ Yeldon me like last week. But, yeah, Rawls, it's looking like he just was told he's doubtful. I need him to be – there's a chance here. If he's banged and Rawls just doesn't have it after the, whatever injury, if he's not fully recovered, Michael has a chance to kind of run away with it right now or at least hold the job for a little while longer than just this week as far as being the lead back. And if Rawls isn't going to play, Michael should get a career high in carries. I mean, he might get 20 carries in this game. I think he breaks one, and that's the way you got to lean right now. Rawls is tough. I mean, that's why you and I have this trade on the table right now. I'm thinking about it. I'm asking people's advice constantly. I'm trying to figure out the right thing to do. I'm scared about Rawls. I can't lie.
Yeah, let's go and talk about the trade. It's in the Writers League RCL. Now, I don't think I did any trades last season, but this season I have to, just because, as everyone knows, AP went down. He was on my team, much to my chagrin. I really didn't want to draft him at that spot, but I wasn't left with much choices, if I remember correctly. That's all reviewed in our past post. But I did offer a trade, Thomas Rawls and Stephon Diggs for Melvin Gordon and Matt Jones. Now, we did the poll on Twitter. I'm not sure how long the polls last. It could be already closed, but of course, T-Hole, if you've noticed that, you know, people seem to agree after we've gotten, I don't know, like almost 70, 80 votes or whatever it is, that they are with you about 65%, if I'm correct. And I think it's pretty easy to see that I think you're getting the better of the deal. But I think what people have to realize in these trades, and I'm not trying to defend my position or anything, I'm doing what I think I need to do best for my team, but I think they need to understand when they're doing fantasy football trades, you have to kind of understand the underlying repercussions of that trade. So the reason why I didn't ask for more or ask for something different is because, number one, I want Gordon because I'm a Chargers fan. Let's be honest here. But number two is I need a guy who can be easily removable. Like, let's say T-Hole, you had Le'Veon Bell. Well, you're not going to be motivated to move him, even though I want to replace a first round. So in a trade, you try to get as close as you can to that. So I will go to T-Hole and be like, you know, hey, Melvin Gordon should be available because it's not like he's a first-round pick, but he has a ceiling, especially this season, to be a running back two, a solid one. And if he takes the next step, hey, it could turn out to be a great replacement for AP. And then you have the Matt Jones side of it, where he's just great bench. He's a great bench piece, I think, for where I'm at on my team because I'm already giving up. I've already lost one running back. There's, like, nothing out there in waivers right now. So he's kind of a backup. And what I'm giving to T-Hole is basically a wide receiver I don't need. I have, well, now I have to bring it up. But, you know, you have Stephon Diggs, who is maybe establishing himself. I think a lot of people could see a wide receiver too as something manageable. Let's see, where I'm bringing up my team now. So my wide receivers are Eric Decker, Marvin Jones, and Stephon Diggs, and then I also have Funchess, Sanu, and Coates. I also have Terrell Williams, who I want to find any reason to start just because, you know, before mentioned Chargers enough. But I wanted to get your take on this trade really quick, T-Hole, since you brought it up. I think you're getting the bender of it slightly, but I think it's just so close, you know, because Rawls may not even have any value. You know what I mean? So basically, I'm giving you Diggs for two guys, but you're also banking on the fact that Rawls is part of your situation. You're also covering your ass, too, just in case Michael doesn't work out, you know? So what's your take on this?
Yeah, I've been trying to pull up my roster, and I just realized I haven't re-downloaded the Yahoo Sports app. Uh-oh, that's not good. How am
that's
I supposed
right.
I'll
bring your roster up. So you can
how am I supposed to make moves when I'm on the road, on the bar, at the bar, wherever I'm at? How am I supposed to make my moves? That's not a good idea for any fantasy person. You got to have the mobile app. You got to be able to make changes on the fly when you get told. You got to be aware of the injuries, etc. Don't be like me right now. That is inexcusable for a professional like myself.
Well, it's interesting because I would point out on your roster, Teal, I have it right in front of me, that you own Jones Jeremy Langford. I was actually curious about adding Jeremy Langford just because I want a guy who isn't necessarily being hyped right now, who's kind of had underwhelming results, just like Jones, but who has a chance to rebound and serves as good depth. That's all I'm looking for in this moment, just good quality depth for my return after getting Melvin Gordon. So I don't know. If you have any specific questions on your own roster, T-Hole, but I'm looking at it, and, you know, obviously the big one is that you have Christine Michael. Rawls kind of fills that gap that you would lose with Matt Jones.
Who are my receivers?
Your receivers are Brown, Alshon Jeffrey, and Torrey Smith. Now, the reason I offered you Diggs is because he slots right in the Torrey Smith slot. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't trust that.
But I've got Gordo coming back, too. But, yeah, that's right. A problem, too, with the quarterback situation there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm leaning towards this, but I'm giving you Melvin Gordon. That's my best running back right now. All the other guys I was high on, like Langford and Matt Jones, they're bricking more so to do with the coaching staff's inability to run the ball or choose to run the ball. More so in Washington, they'd rather throw the ball 60 times a game, even in a close game, even when the guy's throwing like 45%. I mean, come on, can we run the ball here, dude? But, yeah. I'm struggling with it because this could be kind of selling high on Gordon. At the same time, you're a huge fan of theirs, obviously, and he's scored 3 TDs so far. Woodhead's gone. Everything's pointing in the direction of him going nuts. But what if it just doesn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And I'm glad you pointed out that this is what, you know, your perspective from it, because like I said, on paper, this looks like I'm giving you a little bit more. But then you have the fact that when you look at your roster, like, who replaces Melvin Gordon if we do this trade? You know, obviously it's either Christine Michael or Thomas Rawls, whoever's healthy at the time. Obviously it's going to be Michael right now. But then that means your number two is going to be Jeremy Langford for sure. You can't switch that out with anyone. You can't put him in flex with anyone else. Like, you basically don't have a running back one at all, even though you're upgrading a wide receiver. So that's why, you know, when trades kind of look a little one-sided, if you look at the roster, it can't be judged in a vacuum, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So these are all great points that each of us brought up.
It's a very tough one. I'm as big of a Diggs fan there is. Granted, you're selling about as high up. I mean, that could arguably more than likely be his best game of the season. I mean, it's a pretty good game to have your best. It was a great game. So, I mean, if he does anything remotely close to that on a regular basis, you're looking money there. And I would set me up very, very pretty at the receiver slot for sure. So this is kind of tempting. Maybe we can work this out when I get home. I'll chit on the old laptop.
From, you know, when I first texted you, I think we talked a little about it. We both understood that it was a very fair trade. And not only that, it was a very intriguing trade just because of what it means for our teams, whether for better or for worse. So I love trades like that. I love discussing it. I'm glad that we could, you know, talk about it to the fans, I'm sure, who don't care anything about what we do in our league. So anyhow, back to the games. Let's see. We call the Seahawks over the 49ers. All right, so we have my game of the week, which is the Chargers at the Colts. And I think this, you know, I know there's some bias here, but to me, this is probably going to be one of the most entertaining games of the week, just because I got to believe the over-under is going to be like 100.5. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be the Colts don't really have a defense that can hurt the Chargers. You know, the Colts defense has always been to bend, not break, but they also try to keep, you know, they try to slow down the defense until the offense makes a mistake. But this is an offense that doesn't make many mistakes with Phillip Rivers. So, and then you have the Chargers defense, which, you know, has some playmakers, but is still pretty bad. And I'm not saying this because of the Jaguars, the dominance over the Jaguars, but I think the Chargers can win this game. I really do, just because of the way the Colts have been playing and just the way they're kind of set up as a team personnel-wise. And I think it's going to be like a 40-40 game easily.
Yeah, it's a real this is actually a very interesting game because, yeah, the Chargers, I don't know what to make of them. Week one, I'm like, you know, they lose Keenan Allen. As soon as they lose him, they're way up. As soon as they lose him, they just get the huge comeback put on them. Everything looks devastating. Bosa's still out. He's going to miss another game, by the way. Jiminy Christmas there. That's disgusting. Yeah, anyway, we won't. You know? Yeah, you don't need for him anyway. yeah, so in the Colts, yeah, they've had nobody. All their best defensive players have been hurt so far. If they don't get Vontae Davis back this week, things could get ugly. Your boy Tyrell, you might want to start him this week because he's probably going to get at least one touchdown going against these scrubs. And then, yeah, the ground game. I mean, again, can we wait till after this week before we pull the trigger on this trade so I can get some of Gordo going against pathetically soft defense?
For those RCL players who are listening, when you do a trade this late, it doesn't go into effect until the next scoring period. So whatever your roster is now, and I think it's before – I think Wednesday is a cutoff, T-Hole. Be sure to check your leagues to make sure, but I believe if you enact a trade after Wednesday, today's already Friday, so it's moot, but it's either Thursday, the Thursday night game or whatever, then the trade doesn't take effect until the next period, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. So yeah, actually, you have plenty of time. You could actually, technically, we could do this by Tuesday. You know, we could watch a set of weekend games, so...
And I'm desperate for a win. This is embarrassing.
Right, you're on two. Yeah.
I'm at 0-2.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring crazy,
it up, man. I didn't want to damage your
psyche. I started with a loss, I think, in every single league. I mean, in all my RCL leagues, and then both my ESPN, the Dream League, and which everybody's mad at you about, by the way. All the Dream League, they're harassing me. Where's that post?
Yeah, I'm like, it's going up on the weekend.
Relax, guys, please. Just calm down.
To be fair, I haven't gotten too much demand from the people who count, which are the readers, but you can maybe tell them that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, you know, let's chill out. I know Andy's pumped. He did the quality's a little bit higher, went through some technical changes there. Just for the people that are listening, it's a little funnier now. It's mismatched together now. Editing, it looks much better. It's much funnier. It's much more well done.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, this is a Dream League where basically T-Hole, our prospect writer over on the baseball side, Ralph, and a couple of our writers, I think Honcho and Matt Bowe, and I'm probably forgetting someone. You can clean it up if I forgot someone, T-Hole. But
we got Stacy Stern. She's a pretty big woman in the industry. Mm-hmm. She's pretty good. But yeah, so... It's pretty cool. It's much funnier now. The editing is much more professional. Everything will be more entertaining for people going forward. So maybe it'll pick up a few more viewers, and then everybody will stop harassing me, and then I won't have to harass Jay.
Yeah, so this podcast goes up tonight if you want to check it out. One unique thing I forgot to mention, this is a, like T-Hole mentioned, it's a vlog type of presentation, so you guys can watch little episodes, you know, where they mix in a whole bunch of stuff. I think 2 weeks ago when the last episode went out before you guys made some changes to the league owners, which put a delay on everything, that it was just you kind of doing your come at me bro stance to the video game. Yeah. That was pretty entertaining for me, at least.
I enjoyed watching myself doing that too, but now it's everything's edited together and it's much funnier. It's kind of like a how they do it on like the league or like that Modern Family show where it's kind of like people talking that'll flip to somebody else. I mean, it's pretty well edited now. I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Yeah,
more
I think
now.
It's a documentary. It's like a combination of comedy documentary. I'm sure it's like one of those two combinations of words. But yeah, I would check it out. This podcast will come out tonight, later tonight on Friday, so you can check this out tomorrow. Moving on, we got just four games left, T-Hole, until we finish up. And just looking at them now, two of them are ones I don't really care about. The first one being the Jets at the Chiefs. I think Chiefs will win this one, but they didn't look so hot in their loss. They looked like it was completely two different teams from against the Chargers, and then I'm having a brain against the Texans. That's right. They lost against how do you lose against the Texans after that? Anyways, they did, and the Jets are kind of like the Texans, maybe? I don't know. What's your take on this? I'm going to go Chiefs just because they're at home. They're really tough there.
Yeah, I got to lean Chiefs if they're going to get this together at some point. A tough game last week. They had some turnovers against Houston, who I thought was much better than maybe they are after this Patriots shellacking, which we touched on for 20 minutes or so. But, yeah, I'm going to lean them. The Jets are a tough team to gauge. I mean, on offense, I mean, both their starting receivers are banged up, Marshall and Decker, although I think they're both going to end up playing. That Inunua looks pretty nice as a third option. So it's like, and Forte looks pretty good. So now it's like the offense looks very high powered. They have a great D line, obviously, decent backers, but the back four is now what's kind of ugly. You got Revis kind of falling off. Everybody's on his ass. I think he kind of has a bounce back game and kind of plays Macklin pretty good. But the rest of the defensive backs for the Jets are nothing special. I mean, Skrine or Screen or whatever, he's okay. But the rest of the team is burnable, as we saw. I mean, Salas and Goodwin on the Bills are burning these guys for 80-yard bombs. I mean, you can beat them, but not like Alex Smith has thrown an 80-yard bomb probably in his life. I mean, that was down the field anyway. So you probably wouldn't expect that. But I expect the Chiefs to kind of grind it out and keep it close. So this one could go either way. It's not a real – I'm not super pumped on the game, but it is two pretty solid teams. So technically it's kind of an interesting game, but not to me. But I'll lean Chiefs.
Man, I've always been a fan of Andy Reid. I think he gets a lot of grief that he doesn't deserve. But honestly, if he does not throw to Revis every single possession, I'm going to have doubts about him as an offensive guru. I would be throwing to Revis Peninsula all day long. I've made a lot of proclamations this episode about, you know, this team's done. This one means the most. I think this is a make or break game for Revis, like you were saying. I mean, he just looks completely vulnerable, and he needs to at least show that he can do whatever he needs to do to get done, or else he's just going to be targeted the rest of the year ad nauseum. So, moving on. This is going to be a fun game. I think this is probably going to be the best, one of the best late games as opposed to the Chargers and Colts, just because the Sunday night game. We'll get to that. But the Steelers and the Eagles, I think it's interesting because one team is doing what we sort of thought they were going to do. That's the Steelers. They've done it kind of without Le'Veon Bell, which is great for them. The Eagles with Carson Wentz and an okay Jordan Matthews, I would call it. I would say the other Matthews, Ryan Matthews, has been doing a great job so far. It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be the true test for the Eagles on whether or not we can take them seriously. And I think if the Steelers lose this, they kind of we have to take them less seriously. I mean, I hate to sound so pedantic like that, but and also an interesting. I believe you'll have to remind me, T-Hole, but this is a matchup. When last time, if I remember, like Ben Roethlisberger was sacked like 28 times or something crazy ridiculous. I can't quite remember the setting. But I just remember it was the Eagles and Steelers and Roethlisberger. It was one of their Super Bowl years. But I don't know. I'm going to pick the Eagles here. I think the Eagles do it at home.
Wow.
Yeah, this game is something. You had to swallow.
Yeah, I had to swallow. I had to sip water for that one. Whoa. I just can't do it yet. I'm not ready to do that. I like where your head's at. I like what you're saying. But I got to see. Pittsburgh's had a couple impressive wins already. I mean, they beat Washington on the road, which, you know, isn't, I guess, that impressive, but still a nice win to open the season nonetheless. No Le'Veon Bell, etc. And then they beat Cincinnati at home. Granted, I didn't think they looked great. I think they kind of gave Cincy kind of gave that game away. Nobody's really talking about that, but that's just my personal opinion. But I think offensively they're going to get it done. Philly's defensive backs are all hurt. McKelvin might be back. I'm not sure. I forgot if he's out or not. He's basically their best corner. The rest of them are a bunch of nobodies. And Big Ben should be able to take advantage of that, where people like bums like Jay Cutler have not been able to do that. And Robert Griffin. Big Ben is on another level. I think he torches them.
That could also possibly happen. I could be buying into the hype too much. It's not like I really believe it, but I think it would be really interesting to use a simple term, just to see what happens, you know, in the media perception and how we gauge these teams going forward if the Eagles win. You know, I think it'll be kind of I know Philadelphia will overreact, but and this really I tried to hold in the sneeze, I couldn't do it. It's okay. All right though. It's because I'm allergic to the Sunday night matchup. I think that's what I'm gonna segue with. It's the Bears and the Cowboys, and I gotta tell you, T-Hole, obviously on paper, it seems like an okay matchup if you look at it maybe 8 months ago when they were making the schedule. But this really feels like a game where, you know what I'm talking about? Like last year, you know, it seems like a game that would be right before they can start flexing. You know, they can pick their own primetime matchups, and when the records are kind of set. So maybe it was like they're stuck with like a Titans versus – no, it wouldn't be that. It would be like Saints versus Falcons. You know, like an interdivision matchup, you figure they'd be close. But by the time you're in week 8, before they can flex out, it's like 2-0-8 teams, you know, going against each other or something stupid like that. That's what I get. That's the feeling I kind of have when it's the Bears and Cowboys. So I'm going to pick the Cowboys because the Bears have looked atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another one of those teams, the Bears, where, you know, we expected, or at least I did, some slight improvement. They brought in some nice middle linebackers finally to fix kind of one of their main weaknesses. Fangio did a great job with the defense last year. Fox is kind of, you know, is known as kind of the solid kind of turner team around, even though he's not known for coming winning the big game. That's all right. Chicago just wants to be respectable again, and they're not. They're now Cutler's out for a while. Hoyer, you know, he might be an upgrade. You know, as far as a leader, I'm sure he's an upgrade, and we've seen him put up numbers with Gordon, so I wouldn't be that concerned with the Bears receivers. But yeah, man, I got to lean Dallas. I like Dak. You know, they had a great chance to win the week one against the Giants, but they just couldn't do it. They couldn't finish the job inside the red zone, kicked a bunch of field goals, and then missed another the other receiver didn't run out of bounds for them, and that kind of cost them any chance at week one. But I like Dallas. I like what they're doing. I like Dak as a winner. I believe in him, and I don't believe in the Bears. Dallas.
I'd agree with that. I'm going with Dallas. And this is probably the reason why I mentioned the Falcons and the Saints. They are the Monday Night Football matchup. I'll be honest. I have to watch this game to do my job. But I'll probably be DVRing this game and watching the debates. So let's go and call this game. I'm going to say the Saints because they're at home. I think that's what you got to do when it's NFC South games. Who you got going here?
Yeah, I'm going to lead the Saints. This very good girlfriend of mine is from New Orleans, is a huge Saints fan. She lives and dies. I've never seen such a hardcore fan in all my days. I'll be rooting for her and rooting for them. I think they're going to get it done at home. They had a couple heartbreaking losses already, mostly that Oakland 2-point conversion one at home. That was devastating. And then you go road on the Giants and almost squeak one out, and you lose on the last second field goal again. I'm going to say they get it done against the Falcons, although this one could definitely go either way. But I'm rooting for the Saints here. If it's a pick'em, I'm going to take the Saints because they're the home team. But the Falcons maybe figured something out last week at Oakland, so we'll see. But I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right, and the last pick of the night, since I already mentioned it, are the debates. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't think we need to make the picks, but I want to make it anyhow because it is the big event. And to be honest, I've never quite actually written for the site during an election, so it's kind of interesting the jokes I can pull out and who I can offend the easiest. It's mostly the Trump jokes that people are most offended by. I have no idea why, but he's pretty easy to make fun of. So is Clinton. I try to be equal opportunity. Like I said, T-Hole, let's try to make this not about politics itself, but who you see winning. I would say Donald Trump is going into this with really low expectations. Sometimes that's enough. Debates are really, they're an interesting sociology experiment, even anthropological, whatever kind of experiment, I guess, on human culture itself, on how you read these things, how you react. You know, you had Gore and Bush, and Gore was always going to be the stronger intellectual force in those debates, but Bush had the charm. He had the charisma to kind of offset that, and he was able to convince America to be comfortable with him. Of course, we got. I'm not sure how we view the results. Like I said, I'll leave that to a better person to analyze. But, you know, Donald Trump doesn't exactly have expectations. He's going into this debate as boasting at the fact that he's not preparing for it too much. Then you have Clinton, who is a very strong debater. Everyone knows this. The expectations are high. I feel like if she lets out one cough, the election is over. That's how high the expectations are. So that being said, I still can get some jokes in there. But that being said, Teal, who you got as a winner of this first debate, which could decide the election?
I mean, Hillary Clinton's got to win the debate. But every Republican debate I watched, I was sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, my God, Trump got destroyed, and then they drop all the polls on every website, and everybody's like, oh, like 90% of people say Trump won the debate. I'm just like, okay, dude. I mean, it makes me kind of curious about the members of this nation and their intelligence.
Yeah, we're trying not to get into politics.
Right, but, you know, I mean, right, it's all good. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's there for the taking for the Republicans, but they didn't want to do it. I mean, Hillary is one of the least likable candidates I can ever remember. Both of them are obviously, nobody really seems to like.
I'm sure everyone carries a certain amount of disdain for both of them.
Right. But nobody seems to love either of them. And I mean, you got Republicans who are kind of embarrassed about having Trump as the candidate. But even some of them are finally coming around just because they almost feel like they have no choice. But now you've got Republicans that have been lifelong Republicans, former like the Bushes, like people that used to run for them, they're said openly saying they're voting for Clinton. They're not having this. They're not going to be a part of this. Like, it's crazy. But, I mean, if Trump's not going to prepare, I mean, who I've been doubting him the entire time, yet here he is. Like, it's kudos to him. I don't know how he's pulled this off. It's ridiculous. But if he can, if he did prepare, maybe he could actually, people like me could actually take him seriously. I mean, Mark Cuban kind of dropped some knowledge when he's like, you know, I talked to Trump before I endorsed Hillary, saying, you know, it was kind of cool as a businessman, he'd see where this can go, but he just refuses to learn anything about policies. He knows nothing. He just refuses to, like, put in the work. And so, like, you know, Cuban has gone to just start clowning him constantly for good reason, because he hasn't put in the work to really understand everything that goes into being the president. I mean, that's why this is insane. This is for the taking. If he did put in that work, maybe people would take him a little more seriously, but who knows? This guy, and I read an article today, Washington Post, you might have seen it, this guy who's predicted every presidential race correctly for like 30 years, said Trump is going to win. And I would say, if I had to guess, I'd say Hillary wins in a landslide. But for him to say that, kind of scary.
Yeah, and I would say this is all framed with what other people were saying. This does not represent the views of Razzle itself. Or I don't want to do the whole disclaimer, but I would say this. It's a very important thing. Now, I should mention before we sign off really quickly that I have actually a history in politics. I was a campaign manager for Joseph Otto. He ran in 2008 as a Green Party candidate here in Virginia. I was his campaign manager. We managed to get 8,000 votes. I don't particularly support the Green Party agenda. At the time, it was a platform mainly on transportation and green energy choices. It was kind of a true local green candidate. It's not something crazy like Jill Stein, who is an anti-vaxxer and believes that computer monitors can give your children cancer, which, you know, I would say are pretty radical ideas. I don't mind taking a stand there. But there's this old saying in politics that Republicans, they fall in line. Liberals, they fall in love, you know, with the candidates. And this seems to be true in this election, just to kind of look at a meta perspective. No one really likes Clinton on the Democratic side. They seem to hate Trump more, which is the one motivating factor, I think. But you see that with President Obama, and that his support was out of love. He was a cool new thing. He was technically my president. I voted for him twice. I was ingrained as his campaign when I was younger. You know, now that I'm older, I kind of look at it and it's like, man, if this is my president, like how generation has Kennedy, or another generation has Reagan, or another generation has FDR, you know, that one's kind of you know, passing away, but I would say would be my generation's president. I'm proud of that. This is an interesting dichotomy of politics. Again, I don't want to get into the minutiae. I'm going to pick Clinton to win here, but I would say it says a lot about the country of where we're at, where we don't like the two people, but you could arguably say, in a general sense, that one is at least more stable than the other. Like, I want to try to use my words as lightly as I can. You know, I don't want to sell out the whole notion of it, but and I think when that choice is presented itself, it's interesting. I think it says a lot more about us than it does the candidates, wherever this election goes. And in terms of the debate, I'm gonna pick Clinton just because I think she is a really good debater. And honestly, the debates that we saw Trump, he was able to hide behind the amount of candidates, he was given short bites, the crowd was allowed to interact, there were commercials,
and the insults were just gladly accepted, like it was must see TV.
I'm not sure that plays well to the middle.
It can't play as well now. There's just no way.
Can Donald Trump win the debate? Oh, for sure. I mean, honestly, I sometimes I don't want to say anything negative. I'm concerned at the fact that he could win just because he's able to go up on stage and not, you know, just stand there and be quiet and talk properly. Like, if those are his winning conditions, yeah, maybe he wins the debate. I would say this, though. If Hillary Clinton faints or gets into a coughing fit in the middle of the debate, I think it's pretty much over. I think that's it. That's game, set, match. But I don't want to spend the entire time talking about politics. I've tried to stay the middle as much as I can. I think people obviously know where I stand if they follow my Twitter in any which way. Of course, Timo, you're a libertarian. So technically, you are a Republican in the fact that I think your views, or at least the libertarian views, I don't know which ones you agree with or don't, we don't need to discuss that, but I think the libertarian party is a lot closer to where the true Republican party should be, at least on the spectrum of politics. So I do respect that. And that's it. That's our show. We got a little politics. We got a little Dream League in here. We got a little picks. We got some RCL talk. We got a whole bunch of stuff done, Teal, and I appreciate that. Thank you for coming, being a part of this on a Friday. You enjoy the rest of your weekend, good sir. And everyone else.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everyone else. Thanks for listening. We'll see you or talk to you next week.